From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
So good to be here with you on this wonderful Wednesday. Stacy Ann hanging out with you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLN. News that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. And I want to say thank you to all of you that send me your insight and your reflection on a show that we hold in the morning. I love to get your suggestions, your feedback. And yesterday was a pretty amazing day, and I got lots of interaction from all of you. Thank you for sending me your comments. And I encourage you to do so. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And if you have a community event, something going on that you'd like to have on our calendar, we certainly would alert others to what's going on in the community. Send that to me again at stacy@kslm.news. And I want to thank safeairnetwork.com, Safe Air Network, for being a morning show sponsor. Make sure that you find out more about how to keep your air and your surfaces clean. Go to safeairnetwork.com. Looking at the news today, wow, interesting. It kind of ties in with the Safe Air Network and the need for it here in our Oregon airways and certainly indoors. The Oregon legislature, did you see this? It says the source is not known, and this comes from the Northwest Observer. COVID-19 diagnosis shutters the Oregon House. And, you know, about a month ago, I think there was someone that had been diagnosed with COVID-19, and they kind of knew who that was. Now the Oregon legislature learned that an individual who was present at the Capitol has been diagnosed with COVID-19. Potential exposure may have occurred on the floor of the Oregon House of Representatives on April 15th. Human resources for the branch is notifying all individuals who appear to have had close contact with this individual. The House adjourned this morning until Monday, April 26th at 11 a.m. Committee work, which is being done remotely, will continue as planned. Anyone who shows symptoms should be tested and quarantined. Legislators and the staff who are known to have close contact with this individual who tested positive have been notified and encouraged to quarantine and get tested. Facilities staff and will fumigate, that sounds terrible, fumigate the House chamber and wings and continue to diligently, thoroughly, and regularly clean the Capitol in line with CDC's guidance on environment cleaning and disinfection. The priority for the session continues to keep people safe and do the people's work. Sounds like we need to get them alerted about the Safe Air Network. And continuing to look at our temperature for this week, I'm so excited. 56 degrees right now at the KSLM studio, and this weather has been beautiful. In the 70s, continuing on today, about 77 degrees. Tomorrow, 64, 66 on Friday. A little cooler over the weekend with some rain in the forecast, but we're not going to focus on that right now. We're just going to enjoy the moment, right? And so I also have in hand, believe it or not, and if you don't have this or if you've not gone there to sign, I encourage you to do so. This big, big launch of Stop the Abuse, Restore Oregon Now. This is so exciting, an opportunity for us to stand up for our liberty and freedom. And the neat thing about this is you don't have to be a voter, a voting age. You can be a student. You can, your whole family and grandma and grandpa all the way down to the kids. If you're an Oregon citizen, you live here in Oregon, you can sign this petition. And we want to urge our local leaders to defend our constitutional rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness from being canceled by the governor's endless emergencies. And you know, right around the corner, you know, her emergency clause, quote unquote, the extended. It was only going to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? And here we are, a month, 2 months, 12 months, 13 months into the 14th month, right? And so it's time that we stand up and save our freedoms and rescue our communities now. The emergencies will never end unless we start taking a stand. The governor doesn't have the power to counsel us and the U.S. Constitution. Local governments can stop Governor Brown's overreach. And what happens next is really up to us. So I encourage you, friends, to go to RestoreOregonNow.org, sign the petition, and then download your very own copy and get all your friends and family, coworkers, anybody you know in Oregon that's like, yep, I'm ready for Oregon to open up, to sign the petition. And so I've printed out petitions, and I will have petitions with me everywhere I go. and get people to sign it. And I encourage you to do so. We have 30 days to do this. And then what's going to happen is people that sign the petition, the people that are organizing this, are going to organize it by counties, communities, cities, things like that. And they're going to go to the local elected officials and say, we want a resolution saying, you know, we're going to, with some facts about how our Constitution needs to be upheld, our Oregon Constitution needs to be upheld, and to stop the governor for her overreach and her making laws through executive order and through mandates, right? And so they can say, and here's our army. Here's 30,000 people in Salem. Here's 40,000 people in Portland area. You know, those kinds of things. So you can be a part of something. And a lot of people have said, Stacey, what can I do? I feel so frustrated and don't know what to do. The other thing you can do is, if you haven't signed up yet, I encourage you to get signed up for the Safe School Summit this Saturday. Yep. This Saturday, from about 8 in the morning until about 4:30 in the afternoon, we're going to gather together and we are going to stand together and learn about how we can stand up in our communities and get behind our schools, make sure we get the right people on the school boards that line up with our values and stand up for our kids. We need to show up and be there for our kids. And that's kind of the subject that we're going to talk about this morning. I'm really excited to have Mark back in the studio with me. Mark, good morning to you. Thank you. You are the superintendent at LC, and we're glad to have you in the studio this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, you know, I had an opportunity to go on a little adventure last week and spend some time in your school and do a remote from your school. Had met Sam. You introduced me to Sam, and you met. We also had an opportunity to meet your coach there, and Mr. France, and it was such an awesome day, and I had a lot of feedback from listeners. Mm-hmm. People were moved by Sam's story. Mm-hmm. And I want to remind our listeners a little bit about your school this year and how you stand out above the rest here in the Willamette Valley. Go ahead and sing your song. Tell your good story.
Well, you know, as I've said before, so we decided that we had to be open after the very, you know, unpleasant experience in the spring having to be closed. So we just set our minds to do that. And the details, you know, it wasn't a clean process, but we got politically motivated and activated. And fortunately, the governor wrote exceptions and we were allowed to open. And so we are the only, I guess, Willamette Valley or West Side public school that's been open all year for in-person instruction for students.
Well, a neat thing about that, too, is as you took me through the classrooms and stuff, and I got to interact a little bit with the students to see their enthusiasm to be in class, to see how what you've done to keep staff and students safe and all the protocols that you put in place. You know, it's working. And
yep.
and I was so impressed with, even as we went back by the shop and stuff, kids were out there cutting wood, learning how to cut and stack wood, practical things. I love that about your school, is it's real life, up close, practical skills that impact life beyond the high school experience.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's extra special this year. And, you know, as a superintendent, I've been dubbed kind of a renegade, unfortunately. It's been somewhat isolating in the professional world. But who would have thought that being a counterculture, if you will, superintendent would involve just opening your school.
Right.
But that's the world we live in right now.
Well, and there's been some bumps along the way, even in the school, as far as introducing sports and trying to figure out how to do that with all of these. It seems like the rules and the guidelines are shifting, and one group says this and another group says that. How have you made your way through that, and what are you learning through that process?
Well, I've just spoke out. So I'm a delegate assembly member in the OSAA, and I just started emailing executive board members and Peter Weber and saying, you know, we need to change the style of leadership we have in this organization, because if the OSAA won't take the lead on being allowed to safely hold sports and take the lead on what that means in terms of not having sports and what those negative impacts are for kids. And what I experienced was they gave me an audience in a board meeting, executive session board meeting, apparently, and you know, they a week ago, they were, we are not going to allow indoor sports. And I think I shared that on the last broadcast. And so we've spent the last 4 or 5 days kind of in some intensive stuff, being active with legislators and retaining counsel and really standing up for our girls who were disparately impacted by having indoor rules that were much more restrictive than outdoor sports, which in this case was football, and obviously predominantly affects boys. And so the way that it works in the sport world is we are under federal regulation of Title IX. And I know it's been in the national news as President Biden is doing some review of that and wanting to really, really make sure that there's parity between boys and girls programs. And that doesn't mean football and volleyball are the same. It means equity, so that if one can practice for 2 hours, the other has the option to practice for 2 hours. So that's kind of the nuance or the nature of that. And for the OSA not to stand up for that is shocking. I did get some correspondence. I'd be happy to share it with you all.
Yes.
And Peter wrote a letter on behalf of the executive board in relation to my request for them to join ALC in some litigation notification to OHA and the governor's office. They chose, obviously, not to do that. But he let me know in writing that the OSA is not bound by Title IX obligations, and I couldn't believe it.
Well, that just doesn't make any sense, because in this discussion, it's not only in our state, but all over the country right now, you keep hearing the word equity, not equality, equity. And when you think about the term equity in sports, and when you think about the boys playing on the field, you know, with one set of rules outside and for however many hours, and yet the gals inside in volleyball, that to me raises big red flags if they don't see that there's some inequitable policies right there. And you're telling me, if I'm hearing you right, is that they're saying it's not their issue in a sense. It doesn't affect them. They're not held or bound by Title IX rules because they're just an association. Is that what they're basically saying?
That is what they're saying. They put it in writing. But the comedy of it is I was in a delegate assembly member, or as a delegate assembly member, we had a meeting on, I think it was April 5th, and Peter Weber did a financial update to the delegate assembly and said that they have managed to bridge the financial gap with OSA because they've had no income, obviously, because sports have predominantly been closed. Normally, their gate receipts are their predominant income.
Okay.
But they bridged the gap with federal payroll loans, which I thought was quite fascinating, because I believe those are federal funds, Stacey.
Yeah, so there is a little bit of a conflict or a contrast there, right?
Yeah,
in what they say in one word and then what they're doing in action.
Well, and just so the listeners understand, if you receive any kind of federal funding, Title IX obligations, ADA, all those rules apply if you receive any kind of federal funding.
Well, and that's exactly why a lot of times private schools are a little conscientious about receiving any federal funds, because then with that comes some obligation to follow through with their guidelines, right? And so a lot of times they'll say, we'll just stay out of that. And so it would apply here, I would think, that if they're taking federal, then yes, they would have to follow and play along with the rules.
Well, it's really concerning, because basically they get to pick and choose which rules they want to follow and which rules they don't want to follow, and that's a bad thing to model for kids.
It sounds like there's a theme here in Oregon, and we're going to cut through some of it. We're going to get to what's most important, is standing up for the kids and standing along with them. And I'm excited. We have some student perspective here this morning for you, my friend. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to introduce her in this next segment. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. We'll be back.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Together on this wonderful Wednesday, the 21st day of April already. Incredible how time seems to be going so fast this year. I want to remind you, the Best of the Willamette Valley voting is continuing on through this Friday, and I want to encourage you to go to votebowv.com and vote for KSLM under the Things to Do tab, but there's so many really amazing places to vote. Our friends at the Trunk, Capital Pond, the Honky Tonk Bar and Grill, all of those fun places I like to go and people that I know I like to click on and vote for them as well. And of course, Harley Davidson. I encourage you to go on there and do that. Go to votebowv.com. And we want to thank Best of Willamette Valley, brought to you by Rick's Custom Fencing and Decking. And they're going to come into the studio tomorrow again. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And as we wrap up voting for the best of, then in June, we're going to have a big reveal party. And I'm excited. I get to be a part of that. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So we've got some things to look forward to in that. We're continuing the conversation. And, you know, Marcus, we talk about opening up Oregon and restoring Oregon. Who would have thought a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we couldn't even forecast this coming down the pike. And, as it is, we just go along and do our life thing and we get up and go to work and go home and go to sports and all of that. And on the professional level and the adult level, you know, even like we've got the baseball game starting again here at the Volcano Stadium. And we've got, you think about colleges, they had their basketball season, right? They had their football, you know, they've been doing this with different guidelines than a lot of our college compared to the high school and the middle school and all of that. So it is important to hear our perspective with our students, and I do appreciate what you've done in the community and in the state in regards to fighting on behalf of students. Mm-hmm. And when I think about the mental health, and we had Sam's story last week, mm-hmm. and what it's done for him being in school, I think it's good to hear from students. And you brought a student with you today, you and Nicole did, and Nicole, I'm so glad to have her here, and we'll talk with her a little bit here in the future segment, but you brought this student, and introduce us to her. You know her well, because she's been there all these years, right?
Well, this particular young lady is she represents really the best of what our school system can produce. Mm-hmm. And as superintendent for 10 years now, and I'll see, this is my 10th year, I pretty much got to watch her grow up from when she's just a wee little bug, mm-hmm. to now a senior and getting ready to move on and go on and do what we all do as we enter into the adult world. And mm-hmm. so this is, her official name is Isabel Arantes, but we like to call her Belle because that's how she's known in ALSEI. She will always be known as Belle.
I love it. So. Well, good morning to you, Belle. How are you today?
I'm good this morning.
Is this your first time on the radio?
It is.
Oh, so glad to have you here. And friends, what a beautiful, I'm going to describe because we're on radio. Describe what I'm looking at, a beautiful young lady with big brown eyes and a contagious smile, and she is here. Tell us a little bit about your year this year compared to last year and your experience having gone through COVID and the lockdown and going back to school.
Yeah, well, this year is definitely not as I thought it would be when I started my freshman year, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. My junior year did not end as expected either. It really took a toll on everybody, and it was not good. And it's so much better, it's so much easier to see people and be able to be socialized. And mm-hmm. But this year, I'm glad we were in person, but it's hard watching what the past year's seniors have been able to do versus how much has been taken away from this year.
Because you've gone to school there all your life and you've watched as you grow up what the seniors got to do and the part of that letting go of the high school experience. Mm-hmm. Last year when COVID put you back at home and you had to go home, talk to us a little bit of what that was like, trying to do school from home or figure that out. Was that tough?
It was. So I actually... COVID hit right about spring break, mm-hmm. and I was with my sister, so I was clear across on the other side of Oregon. I wasn't, you know, COVID happened, and they're like, well, I think it's best for you to quarantine with them, so I didn't get to see a majority of my family because, well, I wasn't home. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard because I was trying to work, and I was trying to do school, and it was really hard, and not being able to be around my friends or my teachers and my family, it was... definitely took a toll.
It was challenging for you. And what did you see in your friends as you walked through that season, that time where you had to stay away from each other and all of that? What were you hearing from them?
It was definitely hard for them. I think it was harder for some of us than what was expected. But we definitely all struggled, and you kind of saw, at least between my friends and I, we kind of drifted a little bit because all you had was your phone. Mm-hmm. You only communicated through your phone. And that's not how a friendship should work at all.
It's an element of it. And sometimes I've heard adults criticize the youth of today. They're always on their phones, you know. They're not engaging in communication. And then to the point where that's all you had was your phone. And it was like your lifeline to the outside world, right? So then you get through summer. Did you have a job? Do you normally have a job in the summer? What opportunities did you have in the summer with COVID and all of that?
So I did... Along with that, I did get to see my sisters, and that was really nice. And I did have a job, but it was kind of a nice because I was able to keep it and everything because I mainly worked by myself, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you heard that school was going to open up in person, had a way to open up. Yeah. What did you think about that?
I was very excited. As soon as I heard we were opening up, I was like, all right, cool. I'm heading back home. I'm going to start school. It's going to be great. I get to see my friends. I get to see my peers. And, you know, I get to have that education experience where you get to be in person one-on-one with your teacher.
And then your senior year won't be robbed necessarily all of it from you as well, right?
Yeah.
And as we go into the next segment, I want you to be thinking about these. I want to talk to you a little bit about how this year has impacted your life and your perspective going on to college, okay? We'll get to that after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. We're going to continue the conversation with Belle when we get back. It's good to have a perspective from a senior going through all of this. Certainly, we'll continue after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. There's some events coming up I want to share with you. Starting with tonight, I want to encourage you to come on out to training starting at 6 p.m. in fact, tonight at the River Church. I'm going to lead an advocacy training on how do we talk to our elected leaders about the issues close to our heart that are affecting and impacting us. And we're going to talk a little bit about this petition and how to carry that and kind of what the ground game is for that. And I encourage you to come out tonight at the River Church. And then at 7 p.m. following that little training is going to be another great constitutional class by Chrisanne Hall, Liberty First University. So I want to encourage you to attend tonight, 6 p.m. and then 7 p.m. And then the Safe School Summit, encouraging you to get signed up today, parentsrightsined.org. Get signed up. And then May 1st is cleanup day at Canyon View Camp. They need help to clear out and make the campground safe as campers will be continuing to come back doing day camps this year. So give them a call, 971-239-1347. And then as well, there's going to be a Second Amendment rally on May 1st. I think it's going to be at Riverfront Park. And so you want to put that on your calendar. And then Business Freedom Fellowship, again for May, will be Friday, May 14th. And May 13th, I'm really excited about this. Guess what? Oh, yes, baseball starts again at Volcano Stadium. So that'll be a fun time. And when we talk about sports, and we talked a little bit, Mark, about playing sports and how important that is with kids. Belle, when you talk about your academic year and looking from your junior year to your senior year, did you miss out on playing any sports with the shutdown last spring?
The only sport that I got to miss out on was I was going to play track for my first year last year, and mm-hmm. we weren't able to do that. So that was kind of rough. But
and as you went into your senior year, talk to us what you were looking forward to in your senior year, what you got to do and what you haven't gotten to do.
Yeah. So last year, before any of COVID, I was like, you know, it's my senior year. I'll play all these sports that I can. But it's kind of rough because there for a while they were like, are we going to have sports or not? And mm-hmm. it took a lot. And I'm very thankful for all of our people, like Mr. Thielman, who mm-hmm. helped us make sure we had sports.
And this year you played, what have you played so far and what are you still going to play?
I'm actually not playing sports this year.
Okay.
But I did play basketball last year, mm-hmm. and I actually help with the volleyball. I'm a manager for the team.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And I'll just put in a plug. She does all the video and the stats, and Belle is an amazing organizer.
Awesome.
And she has been critical. Her coach, Katie, and Coach Ricky absolutely relied on her for all the help and support she did. Although I did get in the camera once, I didn't see her there.
Oh, so. I love it. So you've been doing some of the filming and recording and all of that.
Yep.
Do you like that? Is that
kind of
fun?
I get to travel with all the girls. I get to see them as a team and mm-hmm. work together and grow together as the season goes on. And it's really amazing to watch them and be able to do that.
So when you went back to school in the fall, you got to do in person all day, mm-hmm. 5 days a week school. What changes happened for you?
It was weird. We had to wear masks all the time, and we had these cubicles, I guess is what we mm-hmm. called them. And mm-hmm. it was weird because you expect to see your friends, but I mean, you get to still be around them, but it's not like you actually get to see them, half their faces covered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people change over a period of, 6 months, was
mm-hmm.
it? And yeah, it was kind of rough. But.
And what do you think that having all these barriers and that are supposed to be safe and all of that, what has that done to you and your friends? What are your thoughts on that? Are they just going along with it or like, this is crazy? What are their thoughts?
We all actually think it's crazy because these barriers, they don't seem to do much. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't, it just doesn't make sense.
And
to
I'll segue with that. And Belle, thank you for outing what's otherwise a very uncomfortable conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the things is I made a big investment in those things, obviously, because the goal originally was to get open and be
mm-hmm.
open and be safe. And since we were the only school open, obviously, we went above and beyond, spent almost $500,000 mm-hmm. in COVID safety protocol. And what was interesting was the feedback I got from students. Students were probably the most accountable group of people in our system, much more than the adults I've had in government.
Mm-hmm.
Because students like Belle go, well, what's the science, Mr. Thielman?
Mm.
How do these things really work? And, of course, I told all the kids the truth because that's what we do in LC. I said, well, there isn't really any science. It's part theater.
Mm.
But what's important is that it's what people see. People see us making every effort, and if they help at all, that's what we're going to do. I will segue because Belle and some of her friends in their ongoing dialogue finally had persuaded some of the high school teachers to come and ask me to take some of those barriers down. And, and just so everyone knows, those barriers were requested originally by staff, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, they became more staff
obstacles,
became more
yeah.
Well, they became obstacles, and mm-hmm. staff started saying, you know, I'm comfortable with what we're doing. I feel safe, and let's take the barriers down. And they came and asked me, and I said, yeah, we'll take them down.
Well, and that's part of it too, Belle, is when you're with the same students, it's kind of like your own family. When you're with the same people, mm-hmm. all the science shows mm-hmm. that when you're with that core group or those same people and you're exposed to those same people, that's okay to start letting the guards down and the barriers down. But here's what's interesting. You know what's developing in this exercise of trying to do the right thing because it's regulated or theater
mm-hmm.
is critical thinking and to question the why,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're doing this. Those are incredible skills I don't think that can necessarily be taught, but they're being caught, right?
Mm-hmm.
You and your peers are having some questions that you're questioning, which is normal in your development anyway. And my background in working with students and my facilitating and teaching mm-hmm. is you develop over the next 4 or 5 years, continue and go to college and all of this, your critical thinking and your questioning will continue. And part of that's just like rebelling against authority, you know, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your identity. That's how you're growing. And here you are learning these skills that maybe you think it's a silver lining a little bit, maybe some good coming out of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it really helped us stay in school, so that was definitely a plus. But
mm-hmm.
there's some struggles, but I mean, really, I'm just glad we got to.
You got to be together, and
yeah.
you got a little bit of a school year, and you'll go back, you know, in your 20-year reunion, and you'll look at the pictures and go, can you believe we had to do this? You
mm-hmm.
know, things like that. It's not just the hairdos, it's in the clothing. You're going to be looking at some of this as well.
Yeah.
Now, wearing the mask every day, have you heard from your peers or have you personally experienced any trouble from having to wear that all day?
At first, it was kind of weird because, you know, quarantine, none of us really went anywhere, so it was kind of weird to wear a mask all day. Mm-hmm. For the first, well, even now, like, it still gives me a headache to wear that thing all day, but mm-hmm. it's almost a habit to have a mask on me all the time and just put it on anytime I get out of my house, my car, anything. And I don't, for me, that I feel like that's sad to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's how we have to live now. We always have to be cautious of, oh, where's our mask? We got to cover our face, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost like not, you know, I wonder what that does to the psyche in this development phase of especially the younger children. You know, mm-hmm. it's almost like not putting on your shoes or something, you know, so vitally important to go out when you go out with people. And you have, do you have younger brothers or sisters?
I have some younger sisters.
And how are they dealing with all of this?
Well, one of my little sisters is doing full online, and two of them also do in person, but they don't like it. It's a bug. It messes when they are with their education, and just mm-hmm. it's a hassle to wear it all day and mm-hmm. be able to actually learn when you have that thing bugging you all the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's what makes people drawn to maybe the online schooling a little more so, is not having to wear a mask all day and things like that?
Yeah, and just be able to get that fresh air, because like, I've gotten so used to it that sometimes I can't tell, but you can definitely tell when you take it off, that fresh air.
It's, exactly. It's a exactly. relief. So let me ask you this. What's your plan for next year?
I plan to go on to college. And actually, when I was looking for colleges this year, I looked at ones that were open and small.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I chose. I wanted that in-person experience. I know how much I struggled with online, mm-hmm. and I knew I couldn't handle college online. So I definitely looked for the ones that were open, and
good.
I found my perfect
Did
match.
You apply for scholarships? Are you in that process of doing
yep.
all of that? Good for you. Well, you are very fortunate to have a staff that cares so much, and
yes.
leadership in your school that's fought so that you can be in person.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you have these obstacles, what would you say to students or parents listening that are questioning if they should send their kids next year in person because they're having some decisions, they're trying mm-hmm. to figure this out, like in Salem area,
mm-hmm.
it's more of a hybrid. What would you say to them about going in person?
I definitely think it's worth it to go in person. It just, with our minds, like you said, we're still developing. It doesn't make sense for us to stay at home. And even though, you know, some may say that we're always on our phone, we're not all the time. It's just when they see us. But being on an electronic all day, it stresses.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
And the reality is, look at the parents and the grandparents now. They're always on their phone, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So it's all of us. It's not mm-hmm. just the students anymore. And so you're going to go to college next year. Congratulations.
Yep.
What are you
going to
study?
I'm going to go into the pre-nursing program.
Excellent.
Yep.
A caring, compassionate, hands-on, interactive job, which you're definitely geared up
yep.
for. That's awesome. How do you feel your school experience is preparing you for that?
It's definitely helped me with my people skills and just being able to, even through this hard time, I've learned how to be able to handle myself and be able to help others along the way and
mm-hmm.
be able to have that communication and be prepared for it. Be prepared for the unknown, what can happen.
That sounds awesome. And your administrative skills, I've worked with nurses before
mm-hmm.
in a pregnancy center situation mm-hmm. and nursing, you're very detailed oriented, very organized. Sounds like you're prepared for that on that part, and school will be excellent for you. Congratulations.
Yep.
And graduation is coming up in June, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Do you have anything planned special for graduation yet?
I think, as far as I know, we're just going to have like a little graduation party at my house for my close families
mm-hmm.
and friends.
Excellent.
So
you
going to
go on any adventure or vacation or anything like that?
Over the summer, I'll go and spend it with my sisters, so
Yay.
That'll be nice before I leave.
Well, I am delighted to meet you, Belle. Thank you for joining us today. And as we, mm-hmm. Mark, as we talk about the impact of school and in person, and I think about Belle looking at her, what she would have missed out on
yeah.
had she just had the option of online schooling. I think of all the seniors this year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, my heart broke for them, not being able to have graduation, not being able to participate. And that's pretty strategic. Strategic in our development and growing up and being
mm-hmm.
promoted out of the house. The fact that she gets to do that and many of our Oregonian kids can't, What can we do as citizens to really get behind families who want their kids to have this in-person experience as we move towards fall? What can we do?
Well, I would encourage all families to take a look at it and look at the mitigations and of their particular school district, but really be optimistic about the safety factor of sending your kid back in person. And that's been our experience. We've had absolutely no COVID all year. We've had, obviously, we draw students from hotspots like the OSU area and mm-hmm. Corvallis, and because we're a charter school, just to remind the listeners. And so we bus kids in from all over. So it can be safe. And if you listen to Bell, I mean, you're hearing it right from a student.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of a child's growth and development. They need each other.
And that alienation from that development, strategic development in their lives, is troubling to me. And we got to get back to opening Oregon up, get our schools open, and we can play a part in that. We're going to continue the conversation after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hi, I'm Stacey Ann, bringing you encouragement today, hopefully. We're here to educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. Want to say thanks to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. Get a hold of Bill at 503-885-0789, sunderlandagency.com. Continuing the conversation this morning, and it's been so fun to hear from Bell and her experience. And, you know, I want to say when I was at the school last week, you toured me around and I got to go into some classrooms, and it was so fun to be, I think it was in the second grade class.
Yep.
And I watched right before my eyes, the kids kind of gathered together and petition you live. Maybe it's because they knew they had an audience and I was there.
That was pretty intense.
Yeah,
I remember,
they were like, can we please have a field trip, you know? And it's these things we forget about as adults, and we get into our work, day-to-day work life, that are so important to kids, and they earn them, and they work hard for these things. And I'm thinking about the seniors and a senior trip. Are you planning, Belle, a senior trip this year? And how did you get that organized?
So we are. We've been working all year to try to figure out how we can get this organized, you know, a safe, COVID-friendly trip,
mm-hmm.
and thankfully Mr. Thielman has helped us a lot with that.
Good.
Well, really, I didn't have a choice. They all stood in my office with that look.
Mm-hmm. And, the puppy dog eye look, like, please, please.
And, and I'm really proud of the kids because they came organized, they had a plan, they had, as Bill said, COVID mitigation mm-hmm. in mind, and then, of course, I said, well, they're technically not allowed, but you know what? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to approve this. And it was so exciting because the secretary, you know, the high school, Jackie Hendricks, she when I was walking down to get my coffee, she come barreling mm-hmm. out of the office. We got a house for the seniors.
And mm.
It was just so fun to see staff members as excited as the kids about it.
Well, and these are, again, adding to the memories and doing the best you can. I'm so proud of you for doing that. That's outstanding. And so what's your plan?
We plan to go to the beach, and we're going to stay in this little beach house. It's right there on the sand, and it'll be nice to be able to spend my last
memories.
Year with my classmates.
Yeah.
And
Mr. T's picking up the bills, so they'll be well fed.
Oh, they'll be taken care of. You know, Nicole, we haven't really heard much from Nicole, and she's around the corner here.
Yeah.
Nicole, thank you for what you do at the school. Talk to us a little bit about what it is that you do.
Well, I am the mentor AD, so I'm training someone to take over for me into next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I help out front office. I do all of our classified staff, so all of the helpers that you have in all of your classrooms. I make sure that they're where they need to be, and mm-hmm. if there's pretty much anything that needs to be done at the school, I'm the go-to person to do it. If it needs to get done, it's going to get done.
And you've been a long time connected to the community of ALSI. Talk to me a little bit about what you see, how these kids have handled all the changes in the years. What are some highlights that you see in the kids going to school there?
I'm actually thoroughly impressed with the way our community has come together, and they've done anything and everything in their power to get these kids being able to be in school.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids themselves, they're the best population that has actually use their masks appropriately. And like, I have two littles, and as soon as they walk out of the house, they're like, Mom, we need to have our masks on. We got to get our masks to go to be able to go to school. So I want to go to school today. I'm like, okay, honey, let's do this. But I mean, it's amazing. Like, our community and our staff is just phenomenal.
As you work in athletics and athletic directing and coaching and all of that, it's so essential to have kids in sports, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely essential. I've had multiple kids come to me, especially towards the beginning of the year, where they weren't sure if we were going to have sports. And it was, we are going to have sports. We're not going to have sports. We're moving the seasons back. We're going to keep moving it back. They were very, very downtrodden. Their quality of academics was even suffering because they were excited at beginning with, because we have a standard that the kids have to hold in order to be able to participate in their school activities. And as it was being pushed back farther and farther and farther, you just saw those grades dropping. Mm-hmm. You saw their heads dropping, their entire demeanor changed. And once we actually got the go-ahead that we were having a season, it was an immediate turnaround. The kids were happy. They're, you know, more engaged in their classes. They're trying harder. It does an immense thing for their mental, you know, well-being.
Well, and that team, the skills again that they learn by being a part of a team and working towards goals, all of that you cannot replace. It's so essential to that development and identity. And your school mascot is the Wolverines, right? And so there's so much excitement around that. When I went into the school, I saw that. And having sports and being able to do all of those things, you are going to have basketball. That's something to look forward to.
Yep, a surprise announcement, unanticipated. You know, I'm not saying I'm the sole cause, but I guarantee you the advocacy of the Alsea School District was a definite part of that. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank our legislators who are our quiet supporters. We have several legislators out there. I'll highlight Senator Lithicum is probably one of our most consistent ones. Senator Finley, Senator Johnson, you know, they seem to get it. They understand that these things are good for kids, and we need to find a way to facilitate them.
Well, and again, I'm going to circle, you know, use that word. I'm going to go back around to the fact that we as citizens, we might not have kids in school directly. We may have grandkids in school, or maybe our kids aren't in school here or in Oregon. I want to encourage you, friends, listeners, we can participate. We can make sure we get the right people on the school board. We've got school board elections right around the corner. In fact, I got my voter pamphlet in the mail yesterday. So we need to make sure that we're contacting these candidates. Where are they at about opening up the schools? And Belle, do you think that it's a good idea to get kids back in school next year?
I really do. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it's important.
Well, I appreciate you being here today, and congratulations on graduation and going on to college. That's so exciting, and being on the air here with us this morning, taking the time. I remember senior year is kind of busy with schoolwork and lots of things going on. And thank you, Mark, for being here, and Nicole as well. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Just one more thing I want to say, since everybody's listening, is because most of the listeners haven't met Belle directly, but watching her grow up, and seeing her getting ready to go off to college, and the way that she's cared for her sisters and her grandparents and parents, and the way that she engages with her friends, she is the best product that our school district can produce. And our future is as a state and a nation really is assured. I want to encourage everybody that our future is bright. Because of students just like Belle. She's going to go on and be a wonderful citizen and hopefully mother and spouse. And, you know, maybe you can live back in Alsea eventually and bring your kids.
Because
I'm sure at the rate I'm going, I'll still be there.
Do they have a medical center or some kind of way that you could plug in as a nurse in the Alsea area?
There is a clinic in Alsea.
Well, I've heard things like that happening. After all, I've come back to Oregon after graduating from here. And it's exciting to be back in the community that I went to high school in. So I encourage you, and I thank you for spending your time here this morning. And Mark, thank you for your time. You're planning to be there at the summit this weekend?
Yeah, I'm speaking, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I'm looking forward to that. Encourage everybody to come, and there's going to be wonderful messages, wonderful speakers.
Yes, so Safe School Summit coming up this Saturday, 8 till about 4:30 in the afternoon. You can get signed up, friends. Parents' Rights in Ed. It's important that we all do our part, even if we don't have students directly involved. It's a part of being a community that we get our support and we have our voices heard. And thank you so much again, Belle, for being here. Nicole, Mark,
thank you.
All have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. We're going to have this up on the podcast this afternoon. Tomorrow, it's the best of the Willamette Valley. Don't forget to vote today. You can vote every single day up through Friday for your favorites, best of the Willamette Valley. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you and God bless the USA.
Next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt.